Hello and welcome to the Ham Radio Crash Course live stream RIP podcast. Today's podcast is a direct audio copy from the YouTube Ham Radio Crash Course live stream. I stream every 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on Saturdays. I hope you can check us out live on YouTube, but if you can't, I hope this podcast is a good enough proximity. Without further ado, let's get started. What is up, everybody? Welcome to the Ham Radio Crash Course. Welcome to Saturday. It's been a heck of a week. I hope to have a little fun just talking about radio today, and I hope you enjoy the show. Thanks so much for coming out again. Appreciate everybody hopping in, watching the show, commenting. We already got a ton of people commenting. We're already talking about antennas. The month of November antennas continues. The first weekend of the month being patron picks. Patreon members selected this topic of discussion, which is DIY ham radio antennas. All right, so I appreciate, again, everybody coming out. I know, like I said, it's been a crazy week. But, you know, I gotta just say, with all that stress going on, how about them ham radios? How about them ham radios? And today we are going to talk about them. What's up, everybody? I am Josh, KI6NAZ. Thanks so much again for joining us out there. A lot of interesting stuff today we're going to talk about, a lot of fun. Hopefully you enjoy the chat. Just a reminder, what is the Ham Radio Crash Course all about? It is about moving forward with ham radio. This is a part of your journey. Your own specific journey into ham radio is going to have all kinds of blips and bloops and on-ramps and off-ramps and different areas that you will find yourself. But what we try to do is push for inclusivity, not exclusivity in ham radio. So we've got a couple of communities on Facebook and Discord where we try and create an environment where people can ask questions. People are saying, my volume is too low. That should do it. Hopefully that does it. Very, very good. Thank you for the comment. But anyway, yeah, we try to create a space that people can ask questions, feel open about them, because we've all been there, right? Starting out in anything, you got a lot of questions, and you want to ask them, but sometimes you feel a little bad about it, but don't feel bad. That's why it exists. So the links for all of our social medias for the Ham Radio Crash Course are in the description. As always, yes, I am wearing green because I am showing off my Grab G90 Go in a Woods, and I am wearing my Ham Radio or Appliance Operators Union t-shirt or sweater zippy thing. So yeah, we're doing a Discord after chat today, just like we always do, and it's a voice chat and text chat where people can continue the conversation. So we're going to wrap things up, and I know we're going to have a lot of questions. People are going to have a lot of questions. So consider joining us on the Discord right now. Just take that link and join. It's free to join. It's, you know, there's nothing complicated about it, and they're pretty secure with your information. It's not like Facebook or anything like that. So if you wanted something other than Facebook, Discord is where I would recommend you go. All right. So yeah, if you could give me a thumbs up, click subscribe, click that notification bell. I do post a short form video during the week and then a live stream every Saturday at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. So thank you so much. All right. Again, reminder, this is the Patron Picks episode. I post a poll at the end of the month, and the winner of the end of the month's poll is selected for the topic of the show. And today's topic, DIY ham radio antennas, which we've talked about in the past, kind of, but this today is just going to be focused on that from a point of starting and then kind of incrementally getting more complicated as we go up. What else? Podcast is up. So our podcast went live, and a couple of new t-shirts too. So let's pull that up. HamTactical.com, Leia running the show over there. New hoodies that she added. So she took a lot of the popular things and added them in hoodie form and zip-up form. So the G90 Go in a Woods, Fango in a Woods got added. So you can check those out if you go to products, new items. The whole list is there, and so you can see them. So if you want the Appliance Operators logo, which is my favorite, that I had a lot of fun working with Leia in creating. So pretty awesome. Reminder, next weekend, November 14th, is the live Four States QRP Cricket transceiver build. So we're going to be building it live. We'll have a Zoom call. We'll have a lot of people in. trying to do the build all together. I have already built one of these live before. It was on the 30 meter band, but it's going to be a lot of fun to get more people in on it. And then hopefully, maybe we'll try to make some contacts, at least see if we can hear some people on it. That would be a lot of fun. Okay, what else? Let's see. A couple of things. I posted a link in the description for a couple of YouTubers that are active in antenna building, and I also posted a video that, you know, everybody should watch it like once a year, once every couple of years. Riley Hollinsworth did a talk a while ago at one of the Hamventions, and it's a really good talk to listen to. He's got a great personality for talking to people, but this one in particular, always really good, particularly while, you know, emotions are high. Just a reminder of how to behave on the ham radios. So, yeah. Somebody said they saw me on TV. I think it was a special on the History Channel. It was the Science Channel, and it's called Phantom Signals. I am on 5 of the 6 episode series. I wasn't on this last week's episode, but next episode should be a fun one. So, yeah, go check that out. What else do I need to talk about? Podcast. Podcast went up talking about getting started in ham radio in 2020. Also, we did a beer review talking about data cables and why they're important, particularly as more radios go into the world of USB connection and why certain cables are, they're not all created equal. So check that out. Plus, there's kind of a not a ham radio topic at the end that you may want to listen to. I don't know. So check that out. Also, link to the description, or link is in the description for my Amazon store, and I added to the making things into antennas list. This is like, you don't have to buy from me. I am an Amazon affiliate, but just an FYI, this list is here. And a lot of the things I'm going to reference today are in this list. So if you're interested in going out and starting building antennas and all that fun stuff, this is the way to get a list of what you want to get. Boyce Davis, thanks for all the knowledge. Just passed my check, tech and general this morning. Can't wait to get on the air. That's fantastic. Very, very good. I appreciate the super chat. Thank you so much. And I did a link to hoshnasi.live, which is just another way if somebody's interested. You don't have to do super chat. Some people have problems with that. It's fine. It's open. You know, and the support's appreciated. You don't have to do that or anything like that, but just letting you know. Okay. Let's grab a beer. We're going to be talking about that handbook right there, that practical antennas handbook. A fantastic book. But for right now, let's get a little beer. I need something to drink. So I'm drinking a Lagunitas Sucks dry hopped IPA today. Oh, and I'll do my there you go, bottle opener. It's not a knife. People always ask me that. Is that a knife? Nope. It's a bottle opener. That just looks like a balisong. Very good. Glass of whiskey, somebody said. Glass of whiskey on the way. We need a ham radio version of that. There's like a gun shooting version of that song. How do we do that with a ham radio? I'll think about it. All right. Okay, how's everybody else doing? Let's check the chat. K8MRD's in the house. I saw K6ARK. Bunch of other folks. We got the Dons. The Don, what is it? The Don Gang? The Dawn Gang, as they call it. Somebody asked, John Fly, Josh, do you homebrew? I homebrew beer. I used to, at least, back before Edison was born. I used to do mead and beer and ciders and apple wine and all that fun stuff. No time. Barely have enough time to do ham radio. Right on. Ooh, what's... Somebody's drinking a mead. That's pretty cool. Right on. Okay. Let's talk about DIY ham radio antennas. Again, thanks to everybody for coming out. Really appreciate it. All right. So you can make all the antennas you need in ham radio. You know, retail antennas are great. I've had a lot of great experience with retail antennas. They're a lot of fun. They're a lot of fun because generally they're kind of built ready for you. There's not a lot of work you have to put in. Unless you're getting a kit that's really just the parts that are accumulated and then you kind of put it together. DX Commander would kind of fit in that line. You get everything you need, but you got to put some work into it. You got to put some time into it, which is really nice because then you feel like you earned it, right? When you set it up and you run it and you see that it is doing what you want it to do. That's always a lot of fun. However, you can absolutely build any ham radio you want to put up. The more I think about it, any ham radio antenna you want to put up, you can make it. You don't have to buy a retail antenna, even for those really big ones. You just have to figure out how to source the material. which some of the big ones are going to be more about that. So simple tools, some wire, and time, emphasis on time, is all you need. And the more time you spend doing it, the more effective you're going to get, the more comfortable you're going to get, the more it starts to make sense, the more you're like, I get this. I know how to make this work. The same is true for big tower-based Yagis and all that fun stuff. Once you know how and have some tools, building antennas becomes easy. And that's what I want to leave you with today. That's my goal for a lot of my videos, is that you can do this. You can absolutely do this. This is something that you should do. It's rewarding. It's a lot of fun. It gives you value. It gives you a sense of ownership and pride in working on and building something. And you will progressively see yourself improve in quality as you go. So basic description of antennas and what we're trying to accomplish. So we gotta start you from the beginning and then and build up from here. So what are we talking about? And I did pull this quote from the textbook that not textbook, but you know, research tome, if you will, that we'll talk about. Practical Antenna Handbook. An antenna is an example of a transducer, a device that converts one form of energy into another. Other examples of a transducer is an audio loudspeaker. It converts electronic signals, are converted into sound waves. Wood stoves, they turned stored energy in the form of wood into heat, right? That's a transducer. An antenna converts tone-carrying electrical currents that are confined and guided within a circuit to a transmission line to a radiated electromagnetic wave varying at the same rate and propagating outward through space, completely independent of the circuit that produced it. How do you like that for a paragraph? That's a fantastic paragraph. Okay, so a note on the Practical Antenna Handbook. Again, I'll throw it over to that. I don't know if I put the link in the Amazon store, but that's it. It's the 5th edition Practical Antenna Handbook. You can pretty much get them anywhere. They're on Amazon. You can get them in the ham radio outlets, in your other ham radio stores. They're available there. It's a fantastic book. Everybody should pick it up. With this book, very quickly, you can flip to an antenna that you want to build, and you can begin building it. It gives you a background on how to, why, the links of antennas, the mathematical equations that you use to factor the links of the wires. And if you want to, it's a cold day, maybe it's raining, there is a wealth of knowledge as to why and how antennas work. Fantastic read. I've been flipping through it. I haven't owned it very long because I've been depending on the ARRL handbook and online for different places to find plans and whatnot for antennas. It's a fantastic book, so definitely go check it out. Highly, highly recommend it. Enhance. There we go. So in a nutshell, our goal here tonight to talk about is how to create an antenna. Well, duh, right? What are we really saying? You're saying, I want to create a tuned circuit to match my radio transceiver and place it in a location where it will function correctly. There's another complicated sentence, right? To be an effective antenna, it must be matched and tuned to your transmitter and exist in a location where it can function, okay? Breaking this sentence down a little bit further. All antennas, to be effective, must match the impedance of your radio. Generally, that is a 50 ohms impedance for ham radio, particularly for HF radios. In fact, I don't know of many that aren't 50 ohms, but you get the idea. And then match the frequency the radio is set to, right? So what this is doing is you're adjusting the antenna. You're physically making this antenna. You're going to adjust the antenna elements so that it's matching for the frequency that you want to operate on. Some antennas are multi-banded, but if you think of just a monoband antenna, it's going to be matched to a specific frequency where it's going to be the most resonant. And then like a parabola, upside down parabola, it's going to sweep up from there as it becomes less resonant as the frequency shifts away. Okay? It needs to be placed in an appropriate free space as to not mess with the match to the transceiver. Some antennas, if they're too close to metal or whatever, it gets affected by the match to your radio, and that can cause all kinds of problems. And further, the placement of where you're assembling this antenna, where you're building this antenna, and the height should allow for the free propagation of your radiated RF. Height's actually really important. We'll talk about it a little bit. So here we go. All right, parts of antenna, just real quickly, we'll go over it. This is a dipole. It's very simple. And obviously, it's just cut to the feed point. There are the elements at the top. That's the wire. That's the legs. That's whatever you want to call the radiating elements. For a dipole, that green line there, it's 1/4 wavelength on each side of that center connector for the frequency that you're going to be operating on. Generally, in the middle is some kind of feed point, a balun, or a center connector. And sometimes those terms are used interchangeably, so make sure you understand what they're saying. A feed point and a center connector may not always be a balun, right? In the case of a dipole, it's a one-to-one balun, meaning it's just a straight shot for both legs. Boop, right down. The connector is generally a PL259 off of the coax line, and this is the case that we're using a feed line that is coax. What is coax? It is a wire, a cable that has a center pin, which would be your positive side of the circuit, and a shield, which wraps around the center connector, and that's the return side, or the negative leg. All right, tools and materials. Not always the bullfrog. Good question. So all balans are feed points, but not all feed points are balans. Kind of, sort of. Generally, you can have, there's kind of different kinds of balans. There's a choke balan that really isn't a feed point at all. It kind of sits in the middle of the feed line. But balans are often used at the feed point, right? The legs off of the balan, one side goes this way, one side goes that way. There's your antenna. Okay, simple tools to be effective at antenna building. And again, simple, right? The material is pretty straightforward. We're going to be talking a lot about wire antennas. And the goal, when you hear me talk about wire antennas, I want you to think to yourself, well, could I do this with copper plumbing? Probably. Could I do this with some other piece of metal? Likely. So just keep that in mind. I'm talking about wire right now, so everybody understands wire. But you can start to, once you start thinking the way of like, hey, can I turn that into an antenna? I bet I can. If it's metal, you can generally make it into an antenna of some kind. It may be super compromised, but start thinking that way, and you'll start looking at stuff differently. You'll start saying like, oh, can I turn that into an antenna? I bet I can. So you get the idea. So wire, generally 10 gauge through 26 gauge is good. I put a really wide space in there because of that second comment. The gauge generally depends on the power you want to cram into it. Not all wires are created equal. I'm not pointing you to a particular brand or particular coating of wire. All of that stuff you get into as you get like more experienced. K6ARK, right, Adam in the chat, he talks about that kind of stuff on his videos. Again, link is in the description for him. So go check that out. Callum, DX Commander, right? He talks about the wire he uses, and the wire is fantastic on the DX Commander. But there's no reason that you can't build an antenna out of a lamp wire, right? It's twin lead lamp wire. Why not? Audio speaker wire. I've built dipoles out of that. You can build a dipole out of that. And when you're starting out, who cares? Do it. It's still going to work. It's still going to be fun. So some kind of center connector, right? We already talked about balans. Balans are generally like a 1-to-1 or a 4-to-1 balan. And they're, when you get to the 4-to-1 and the 49-to-1 and the 9-to-1 balan, those are transformers. They're trying to bring the out-of-match impedance of whatever your antenna is at down to the 50 ohms or get it closer to 50 ohms so you can possibly use an antenna matching system, which we call an antenna tuner. Antenna tuners don't tune antennas. They just make the match for the out-of-impedance the same for your radio, so it's not upset because you can't actually hurt the radio if the antenna is wildly mismatched from the radio. Okay, feed line. Coax or balanced line? Coax. I already explained what coax is, but balanced line. What is balanced line? Balanced line is, it's called window line, TV wire, TV line. It's two parallel lines with little plastic pieces interspaced between it to keep the space between them. It's called balanced line because there are two freestanding elements, whereas coax, if you think about it, it's a center pin wrapped in a shield. That creates a unbalanced environment. The shield is wrapped around the center pin. That's why it's unbalanced. You're going to need some kind of cordage. I talk a little bit about cordage later. I link in the description to Dacron or polyester static line for using for hoisting up antennas. We'll talk a little bit more about that too. Terminal connectors. Terminal connectors are like automotive connectors, radio connectors for in a car or whatnot. I have a lot on hand. I end up using them a lot for lots of different purposes in radio. It's just something I generally like. Some kind of crimper or soldering iron, you can do both. You can crimp and solder. So these are just little things, right? Little things that you may already have in your shack and on the tool bench, you know, whatever. And then last but not least is an SWR meter of some kind or a antenna analyzer, okay? SWR meters are going to be on your radio. Generally, most radios have SWR meters unless you're talking about really, really tiny QRP transceivers. The antenna analyzer, though, is really, really helpful. Really helpful for building antennas because it shows you a display of that sweep. And in fact, we could probably demonstrate that in a little bit. In fact, we might just do that if we have enough time. But there's a ton of videos. I've done videos on antenna analyzers, the Nano VNA being one of them, multiple rig experts I've talked about. But again, it shows you a plot, and the plot's adjustable about where that resonance dip is in the antenna. And remember, that resonance dip should be where you want your radio is going to be transmitting from, where you want the antenna to be resonant. And again, resonance is where the radio is most effective at getting its RF out into the air. Okay, antennas you should build, sorted in increasing complexity. Dipoles, wire dipoles. Dipoles are the base antenna many other types of antennas are built off of. If you understand a dipole and you look at other antennas, you can think to yourself, how does this relate to a dipole? Why is this the same? Why is it different? Et cetera, et cetera. In its purest form, it's just two wires, right? And it's two wires that are really just soldered on a piece of coax. You can do that too. It's 1/4 wavelength of the intended frequency of operation on each leg. If using coax feed line, one wire connects to the center pin and the other connects to the shield, right? You already understand what coax is now, so split down the middle. In general, you want the dipole to be about 0.6 wavelengths above the ground or higher. So if I said I want a 20-meter dipole, I need that to be at least 0.6 wavelengths above the ground to be the most effective. Will it work closer to the ground? Yes, but that changes its propagation to more of a vertical propagation, what they call a cloud warmer or an NVIS type antenna, where you're shooting your RF more vertically and then it's going to come back down. That could be your intended purpose, though. But that's a topic for another show. In fact, we've talked about NVIS before, but anyway. Okay, so building a dipole. The simplest calculation as to how long the wires must be is 468, which is a conversion to take it from meters to feet, kind of the band of operation and the frequency that you want to use. This equation will yield a 1/2 wavelength for the frequency you want to use. So 1/2 of 20 meters, for instance. If we wanted to transmit on 20 meter FT8, which would be 14.074 megahertz, then we would simply take 468, divide it by 14.074, and we would end up with 33.25 feet. That's the full length of the antenna, 1/2 wave. If we took that and divided it in two, we would get 16.63 feet, which is the half of the dipole, each half, each leg, each radiating element. And you can see that in the image there, the center connector is in the middle, and then you have two wires, one going out on each side. Each leg, each wire would be 16.63 feet. Okay, hopefully that makes sense. Note that these are the starting lengths of the antenna and must be tuned as we begin the installation. And by tuning, I mean shortened. So ideally, this equation will yield a longer antenna. And then we will walk it in. We'll walk it in as we want, as we get closer to the frequency that we want to operate on. How do we know that we're on the frequency we want? Because again, we're checking that SWR meter. We're keying up on something like FM, a mode like FM or AM that has a constant carrier, and we're looking at that SWR, okay? And we'll notice as we start trimming, little trim, little chop, chop, that the SWR is going to come down. And that gives us the indication that, oh, okay, we're right where we need it to be. Super chat, Spencer Kemble, past tech last month and general today. Thanks for all you do for the ham community. Fan dipole builder buy. Well, you just need to wait because this is the DIY video. So DIY video, I'm going to tell you to build it, of course, right? So K6ARK, Adam said, antenna tuning tip, fold back the wire and wrap it around itself rather than cutting. Same effect. And you can undo it later. We talk about that as we get to the point of how to. Right now I'm talking at kind of a high level. But yes, he's absolutely right. You generally want to fold the wire over. And sometimes that can yield with a pretty big tag end hanging off the end. You'll eventually snip that as you fasten the wire to whatever it is you're connecting to. Okay, so you understand a dipole now. So what's an inverted V? Well, an inverted V is really just a dipole that has a taller center connector and the legs coming down. Similar design, though. Still a dipole, but installed in a way that it's easier for most people to put up. An inverted V could just be one vertical standing mast, and the legs could go to the ground. Now, obviously, the elements can't be on the ground. You'd have to use some kind of cordage or something like that to keep a... Yeah, Adam's. See, Adam's in the chat. He's already knows where I'm going with all these slides, so he's stealing my thunder. No problem, Adam. You don't want the elements like dangling on the ground. They're going to be still suspended by some cordage and an insulator, and you can kind of see that in the picture, right? The black wire is the element, and then there's some kind of loop, and then like a little bit of cordage, right? That cordage is to separate the antenna, the elements from something that can short it, or something that is metallic, or something that is living that you don't want to get RF burns if it gets too close. Oh my gosh, K8MRD, super chat, thank you, buddy. And with the right amount, the 762, appreciate it, just because I love antennas. Thank you, sir, I appreciate it. So for an inverted V, this antenna features a strong center support and the legs angled down to the ground. Generally, the angle of that triangle should be about a little over 90 degrees. And the equation for that, a little bit different. We're going straight to the quarter wave with a twist. It's 220 divided by, and again, we bring back that FT8 number, 14.074 megahertz, 20 meter FT8. And the distance is going to be shorter because due to it sloping to the ground, the elements getting closer to the ground, there's about a 6% shortage in distance versus a freestanding horizontal dipole. It's just the way you set it up. That's just the reaction of the ground, the effect of the ground. Okay, folded dipole. So same kind of thing. Wire antennas that you can build, folded dipole. And this one's a touch different. You take two one-half wavelength wires, and you connect them on the end, and then that wraps around and connects to the feed point, right? Again, still based on the feed point, still fed by coax, still a one-to-one ballon at this point. And then you hang them up, and you kind of space it, right? You get a little space. The advantage of a folded dipole, right, over a regular dipole or an inverted V is that it has a much larger increased bandwidth. And that bandwidth is something that you might want if you're like on 80 meters or whatnot. That was a really large sub notification. I don't know why that was that big. But anyway, thank you for subbing. If you're on like 80 meters, for instance, 80 meters is a huge band. And a lot of antennas just don't have the bandwidth to keep the SWR down, that on the edges, it's just too high to really use. A folded dipole, though, keeps the bandwidth low. That's one reason you might want to use it. Folded dipoles are generally also mono-banded. Okay, fan dipole for the question that came in the chat. What if I just add multiple pairs of wires for different bands to our dipole center connector? Well, that's a fan dipole. In the example here, you can see that could be a 40-meter dipole on the top wires, and the little shorter wires underneath could be a 20-meter dipole. That's a fan dipole. And what's going to happen is when you transmit, whichever elements have the least amount of impedance is where the RF will radiate out of. Those legs, those elements will be what is used for the antenna, for the tuned circuit. So yeah, absolutely. Build a fan dipole. It's no more different. It just uses more wire, and then you're going to have some insulators spaced to keep the wires separated, because you do need that. So make sure to look up more detailed plans on that one, because I think there's actually a specific distance you're supposed to use. But again, there you go. Okay, large loops. Still in the area of easy antennas, right, as far as the complexity. This is less complicated, but it's not necessarily an easy install, right? So a big old loop, big, huge, and it's a loop, but really it's a square, but you get the idea. It's literally a unbroken piece of wire that goes all the way around and goes whoop into your feed point. Full wave, the length of the radiating element, that big loop is going to be 1,005 divided by the frequency in use. So if we wanted a 80 meter full wave loop, 80 meter voice is about 3.75 megahertz. So that means we would need one piece of wire that is 268 feet long. And then that would go into a matching unit of some kind. A tuner would be good in this case, although not always needed. And you would then have a really sweet, sweet antenna. I would love to put up what this is called, like a sky loop. It's called, just a large loop or a full wave loop. But still, really, it's just a whoop, 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 big old piece of wire. And they do fantastic. There's somebody I talked to that had one at HRO. He's got some decent land. He's got over an acre. And he runs it on multiple bands, which is great. And I believe that these get about 2 dB of gain off of a dipole. So a bit of an improvement in terms of the effective punch that the RF will have versus a dipole, right? Everything's kind of compared to a dipole. Again, the dipole is like the core, the base antenna that everything is built upon. Fantastic to get started with, but you know, it's a simple antenna. So far, all these antennas are simple. All right, so still in dipole land, dipole country. So Adam, again in the chat, I'm really picking on Adam today. Adam did a SOTA activation and he used a linked dipole. And he maybe will be on the after chat. He can talk about his linked dipole. I've done a review of a linked dipole, the SOTA Beams dipole. That's a retail antenna, but you can still build your own. You go out and you cut a 40 meter dipole. One we already talked about, right? An inverted V, for example. And you're going to snip it at the 30 and the 20 meter spaces, and you add a connector that I've highlighted through my wonderful painting skills, that's right, with alligator clips. And then it just becomes a matter of disconnecting the clips, connecting the clips for whatever band you want to operate on. So 20 meters would be like that shortest one at top, and then 30, and then 40. That is a linked dipole. That's it in a nutshell. So right on. Okay. Now we're getting a little bit more complicated, but only complicated because of the extra stuff that we've got to drag into the equation. So far, we've mainly been working with tuned antennas, meaning they're cut for resonance of the bands that you want to operate on. They're resonant antennas. These ones that we're going to talk about start to shy away from that, and you have to bring in a matching unit. And the reason that you need a matching unit is because the antennas are going to, again, have impedance that doesn't match the feed point of your radio. Your radio expects 50 ohms. In the case of this tuner-fed doublet, which affectionately we call the KG6 HQD speaker wire dipole, Leo G has a super chat. Thank you for the super chat. Probably too early for this, but shout out for good soldering irons and bestest most special caliper, TS100 barrel connector, or TS80 USB-C. Well, there's a lot of questions in there. Get a Hakko. I'll say that up front. Join the after chat, and we can talk through some of that other stuff. I appreciate the Hakko iron, but yeah. Okay. So by doing away with the coax and going for the window lined, as I mentioned, or what's called balance line, and attaching it to a tuner, a dipole antenna can be multi-banded. From the antenna tuning unit, you're using coax at that point to attach to the radio. You generally need a really strong or capable wide-banded tuner to be able to run a doublet on all bands. And you generally want to get the wire, the elements, as long as the lowest band of operation, so 80 meters, for instance, it's generally preferred if you've got that much wire up to make a dipole out of 80 meters. In this case, though, I'm talking about a doublet. So it would be the quarter wave on 80 meters on each leg and then extra length for this lower connector that goes to the ATU. Speaker wire antennas I'll go to the note. First, though, for a while I ran the MFJ-993B and the LDG Pro 2. Those are fantastic wide-banded antenna tuners that will do just fine with a doublet like this. They can get a little funky, though, when you start playing around with high impedance matching and switching between radios and into and out of your shack. You can sometimes introduce RFI into or RF into your shack, which can cause problems. It can get picked up on the microphone and other stuff. So that's a lot of reasons. There are reasons why people use resonant antennas. But sometimes with resonant antennas, you're going to have to go like fan dipole route, or you're not going to be able to use the bands that you may want to. Whereas this is going to be multi-banded. And again, going to that note, KG6HQD speaker wire antenna, I had Jerry over at my house. Gosh, was that 2 years ago now? Whew, time flies. And we built a speaker wire dipole at my place. You can watch that live stream. It's out there somewhere. It's on my channel, of course. The speaker wire antenna uses the internal ATU of like an Elecraft KX2 or KX3 and a BNC mounting post. And if you want to see what a BNC mounting post is, it's in the Amazon store. I've talked about those in the past in the Making Things Into Antennas video. All right. So another tuner-based antenna, although I know people who've assembled them and built them that don't require a tuner, and that has a couple of names, the Windom or the off-center fed dipole. This is still a one-half wavelength antenna, but instead of the feed point being in the middle like a dipole, right, you just dial back to, I know what a dipole is, so you just cram that in there. If you never forget what a dipole is, you can figure out how these other things work. So if you're feeding it off center, in this case, about a 1/3 distance on one leg, so you see how that one leg's much shorter. The Windom will operate on any even harmonic, so it's still multi-banded, right? But you're generally going to need like a tuner to help it get there. So if it's cut for like 80 meters, again, you can work 40 and 20, right, on that. And again, any even harmonic. Generally a good practice to use an ATU and consider good grounding and bonding in your shack. And again, this is to reduce RF in the shack. Coming from someone who understands what RF in the shack is and what it's like and have shared it on video with Christmas lights and all that other fun stuff, you generally want to pay attention to your grounding, your bonding, and making sure you're keeping the RF out. It will help you out a lot and will reduce frustrations in a big way. The Bullfrog asks, what's the benefit of an off-center fed dipole versus a standard dipole? Well, as I mentioned, it's multi-banded. You put up one antenna and it can work multiple bands. You have some complexities to deal with, again, with RF potentially coming back in the shack, versus a dipole is generally cut for one band and you just add more elements to it and make a fan dipole, right? So if that makes sense. For people that are asking me questions that are not related to antennas, I want to answer you. Consider joining the Discord after chat. It's going to be the best way to do it, and we'll try to get to all your questions. You can also PM me there. You can also comment in the chat room. That's the best way to ask questions. So if you do have questions, that's the best way to get in touch with me, because I do have slides I got to get through, and we only have a little bit over 20 minutes, right, before I want to try and wrap up. Although we have been going over an hour for, I don't know, as long as we've had the human malware virus. Okay, so NFED half-wave, another sometimes tuner needed, sometimes not, actually generally not, but I'm thinking of the random wire. The NFED half-wave is an antenna that has become quite popular. I just talked about one, KM4ACK's kit that I built. It's basically a long wire, right, where the length matches the lowest band of operation. So the video I did for KM4ACK's NFED is a 40-meter radiating element. That wire is the 40-meter half-wave, half-wavelength antenna. The wire connects to a matching unit, which is a 49-to-1 ballon. Okay, so what we know what a 1-to-1 Balin is. A 4-to-1 Balin, we haven't got there yet, but now I'm introducing 49-to-1. So it's just a bigger out of match that it'll try and sort out with this box. And I've got the artistic representation of what a 49-to-1 Balin looks like. Or Unun, sorry. The wire connects to the matching unit, and then that connects to the 50-ohm counterpoise. This antenna also generally works off the harmonics of the 40 meters, for instance, 20 meters, and you get 15 as a third-order harmonic. Harmonics is a complicated topic. This is talking about DIY antennas, and you don't need to necessarily understand that when you're starting out. Just know that if you are going to build an NFED half-wave, they will work multi-banded. It's best to build it to the lowest band, obviously, because you're cutting the wire for that, and then working your way up. And generally, this is just my thoughts. People can disagree with me. Generally, I found that they are great at QRP power outputs, but at 100 watts and above, you should probably deploy a counterpoise or a radial, depending on how you want to call it. So in this example, I only have that one wire that goes between the two trees. If you were trying to push 100 watts or more of power output, you might want to drop a counterpoise. Okay, a vertical antenna. So a vertical, you're thinking, okay, we've dropped one leg of the antenna, but we haven't, right? It's still a dipole. It's just a dipole that's oriented vertically, right? It's a vertical 1/4 wavelength radiating element. So it's that vertical is still the center pin of the coax, right? Or whatever your feed line is. But we're talking coax. Just keep that in your mind so it makes it easy to understand. That center pin is the whole vertical element. Now, underneath it, the other half of the antenna is radio wires, or a radio wire if it's like a portable vertical antenna or whatnot. Super chat from Aussie3, can I use an amplifier with a homebrew antenna with a Wooshin handheld? B-Tech has a 30 to 40 watts. So if you're talking VHF, UHF, which he is, you can. But you're going to have to get an antenna. Well, you can build an antenna that will take that power output. That shouldn't be a problem. In fact, this antenna, this is apropos, you can reduce, those red lines are all like radials, right? You can reduce the number of radials down to a couple of like fixed hard radials mounted up on your roof line, cut it for 2 meters, and you can get the same effect, and it'll work just fine. So this is the same principle that you would use for building a VHF-UHF antenna. It's a 1/4 wavelength, and you're going to use 1/4 wavelength radials, whether they're, you know, a piece of copper plumbing that sticks out that's, you know, 1/4 wavelength of 2 meters with a 1/4 wavelength vertical going up, same idea, same concept. So yeah, you can use this as a design for all the ham bands. It's just a 1/4 wavelength on 80 or 160 meters starts to get a little big, right? A little tall vertically. All right, the Yagi UDA. And the reason for the addition of UDA was, I didn't realize this, this actually came up in a quiz show that Kyle does. And it was mentioned, and I went and looked it up, the Yagi UDA is named after the creators of the antenna, or the designers of the antenna. And what it is an antenna that provides gain. We haven't talked much about gain in this episode, but gain is where instead of having kind of just a pattern of propagation that's just kind of all over the place, it focuses it using one pair of driven elements and then some reflector and then directing elements. So case in point, this picture that you're looking at, the middle measuring tape is the radiating element. That is the portion that connects to that Kenwood handheld that you see there. That's the only part that's active in the antenna system. The lower measuring tape element is the reflector. It's slightly longer than the radiating elements in total length. When you key up and transmit, RF tries to take the shape of a dipole, which is like a big space donut in the air, and it hits that reflector and it's like a backstop, and it doesn't let most of the RF past it. Instead, it focuses it forward. And it hits the director, which is slightly shorter than the radiating element, and that focuses it kind of like a flashlight, if you will. It's a little bit different, but it's the same kind of concept. So by adding the reflector and the director to a standard dipole, all of a sudden we now get directionality and gain. This has a lot of advantages. The antenna on my roof is a Yagi UDA with some technology behind it, but that antenna allows me to point it in a certain direction, and I'm focusing more of my RF in the intended direction I want it to go instead of everywhere, omnidirectional. So if I wanted to talk to Japan, I'd swing my antenna over and talk to Japan versus omnidirectional radiating everywhere, right? So you get the idea. And that example comes from that URL, which I will put in the description. But that, if you look up tape measure Yagi plans, you'll find this. And this image was lifted off their site. So this explains it, how to build it exactly. It's a fun project for your personal use, for Cub Scouts, for ham clubs. There's lots of reasons to build these for fox hunts. It's kind of one half of a satellite communication antenna. If you were going to use one Baofeng for receiving satellites and one Baofeng for transmitting, you would just build a UHF tape measure Yagi and a VHF tape measure Yagi and then just use one for the transmit and the other for the receive. Same principles can be applied on larger Yagis. So if you had firm aluminum elements, and they're, you know, 10, you know, it's a quarter wave on 10 meters. Well, you could do the same thing for a 10 meter Yagi if you so desired. Again, it's trying to put the idea in your brain that once you get this concept, that you can then apply this to all kinds of different antennas. It doesn't just have to be a tape measure, it could be whatever. Your sky's the limit. All right. So, where do I find antenna plans? The Practical Antenna Handbook, and I've got two websites, which I think I did link in the description. so this is prime ham radio, prime ham radio antenna website. The AC6V Homebrew Antennas links, including antenna theory. That is a prime example of a ham radio website, if I do say so myself. Now, if you scroll down here, he's got theory and basics, major antenna pages. And then if you go a little bit further, you get a just impressive list of all kinds of different antennas. And some of these point to Angel Fire links, which are well and dead. But hey, here's a rhombic antenna. Let's pull this up. Maybe. Come on. There we go. So here's a rhombic antenna. And then you can go build a rhombic. So it's kind of like an aggregator of antenna projects. Not all of them are going to be live because, you know, some of them were built on GeoCities and they're long gone, but, you know. And then Ham Universe is another one. Again, you know, prime peak ham radio antenna. Scroll down past all this stuff. And then you get to some HF dipole types, HF verticals, HF loops, sloper Yagis, all kinds of cool stuff. And again, a lot of these are all here on his website. So let's take a... So there you go. How to build a three-element Yagi mini beam using hamsticks. And hamsticks are like MFJ hamsticks, right? So you could build your own Yagi UDA on hamsticks. Pretty easy stuff there, right? And yeah, so that's generally where you can go for more antenna projects. Although I do really like this, and let me show you this book a little bit. Although we're running out of time here, so I've already, you know, dog-eared this with a bunch of flags, but you know, just take case in point. Here's a cool antenna. I didn't talk about this, but bent dipole antenna. So it covers the build and description on how to do multi-band fan dipole with a description on how to build it and all that fun stuff. Delta loops, We didn't talk about Delta Loops, the Yagi Uda beam antenna, right? And then there's even a whole section on hinted and limited space antennas for all of you who've asked about that. Tons and tons of questions on limited space antennas. And it goes through microwave antennas, mobile and marine. No joke, there's a boat picture. Yeah, there you go. You want an antenna for your boat? Great book. And then the handbook, AWRL handbook. There's a ton of antenna projects in here. Not as detailed as this guy, but this also has a lot more to it. So those are just a couple of resources. And then obviously, you know, all my friends on YouTube out here are fantastic. Make sure you go check them out as well, because there's a lot of good people out there. So let's put this all together, literally. All right, the general process for building an antenna. Cut the elements to length, right? You're going to have that equation. You're going to pull it from a book or from a calculator or from a plan or whatever. I highly recommend a long measuring tape to do this. Again, my Amazon store has links to this kind of stuff. It's just a guidance list. If you do end up buying there, I appreciate it. Crimp and solder the terminal ends if using some kind of center support or feed line that take a nut and bolt type connector. This would be the time to do it when these connectors are on the ground. If you're using a tree for support, take a throw weight or however you're planning on getting a line into the tree, and then using your UV-resistant static line, go ahead and pull that up. At this point, you'd attach your insulators. Insulators are the little ceramic bits that go between the non-insulating cordage and the radiating element. Attach those insulators. Pro tip, I really recommend if you're going to use a tree or you're going to have a real tall pole that you have wire antennas going off of, run pulleys up there. With a pulley, you can easily drop the elements down, hoist them back up, and then use like a sailing cleat that you've got mounted at the base of the tree or on a wall or on a fence, and you can just tie off the line. Pulleys make tuning extremely, extremely easy. So consider using really cheap, inexpensive pulleys because they're not holding much weight. There's really not that much weight that you're putting on the antennas to begin with. So consider pulleys. Connect the radiating elements to the insulators using a twist or a simple knot. Again, going back to what Adam talked about, and we'll mention it. If you're going to be tuning it, which we'll get there, you're going to be folding it back some. So you want to have it connected well enough that it's not going to come loose. And wire generally will work if you kind of wrap it around the insulator and give the insulator a couple of twists, not too hard, just to hold it. You'll affix it better later with like a knot, or I use shrink tubing with adhesive, but hold off on the adhesive until you get it tuned in place. So building and continued, attach the feed point, Balun or, you know, other, whatever it is, to the radiating element. So if we're talking a dipole, connect your feed line. If possible, right, check your SWR right at the antenna feed point. If you've got a 100-yard run or foot yard back to your shack, take that coil of coax and set it down and start the tuning process with the antenna there. You're going to thank me on this, because when you're building your own antenna, you're going to do a lot of adjusting. You're going to hoist it all up. You're going to check your SWR. You're going to bring it back down. You're going to adjust it, fold it over, or start to snip if the tag ends get too long. And you're going to be doing that a lot, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. If you don't want to be doing that for walking back and forth to a 100-foot shack away from your house, then just drag it all out into the yard and bring an antenna analyzer. Again, antenna analyzers, super, super helpful for that. Once you have this dip that I've talked about, kind of where you wanted, and you know you get to the bottom because it starts going up again, right? And if you do the fold over trick, you get down to the bottom, and if you still got wire and you keep going, it starts to go up again. Oh, okay, you can back it off, find out where that sweet spot is, tie it off, snip, snip, snip the long ends off, use the heat shrink with adhesive, and you'll get a really good connection. All right, so now you got it tuned and you're ready to pull it up. You're ready to mount it. What do you do now? You seal the coax. All right, so this is what I use. Coax wrap. Any connectors, really, that have a place where water can ingress into the connector. You can go really crazy with this. They use, there's a paste that you use for electronic connections. Somebody will post it in the chat. You can add that into the female end of the coax. Whip grease is another name for it, but that's not what I'm talking about. It's, oh boy, I forget it. Anyway, dielectric, thank you. Yeah, you can use dielectric in the female end of the coax, plug in the coax, and then what I do is I take that coax wrap, I take about 6 inches of it, I start above the PL259 at the feed point of the antenna by about half an inch, hold it with your thumb and pull it like an appreciable pull. It'll handle it. Start wrapping, and you want maybe no more than a quarter inch of overhang, and really give that a lot of wraps, get it covered, particularly above the feed point where the PL259 connects, and then wrap all the way down for that 6 inch. That 6 inch of cut piece will get you much longer when you stretch it. And then on top of that, UV-resistant electrical tape. That will last you years, if not 5+ years. But check it every year if it's going to go up and stay up. Okay, so there you go. All right, final words. So hopefully you notice a trend that although the designs change, the principles on antenna building and construction share a lot in common. So if you understand dipole and how you build a dipole, then all of a sudden they start to all make a little bit more sense. Simple tools and materials are all you need to get on the air and start having fun with ham radio. It is likely you already have many of the tools needed to build your first antenna, so go for it. Literally just go for it. Like, you can do whatever you want. You can make a dipole, add lawn chairs to the end. Sure, why not? Make a vertical, make it out of paper clips. Sure, whatever you want. Some materials are better than others, but the concept is the same. It's the same concept I did with any of the crazy Willett antenna videos. So, you know, absolutely, absolutely do it on your own. Just do it, right? How about shrink tubing? Yeah, Patrick Cassidy, if you go to the Amazon store, the link, let me pull that back up really quick. So this, where'd it go? Oh, what the heck? It's not in there. Oh, I have to add it. Yeah, there's a couple of heat shrink tubing that has adhesive on the inside. I really like those. I've been using those for a while on antennas that are going to live outside. They're not really going to be portable. So those work really well. Those are available on Amazon. Those are available everywhere. Yeah, Harbor Freight has marine shrink tubing. Marine shrink tubing has adhesive on the inside, and those work stellar for this. You do want that because you're going to wrap the antenna. Maybe you'll tie a knot, whatever, on that insulator, and you're going to slide the shrink tubing down on it, hit it with that, and that adhesive and everything will gel it together really nicely, and then it won't split up on you later, which is very nice. So, okay, go sub to some good antenna creators, and they're just good YouTubers in general. They're also friends of mine. K6ARK has already been in the chat. Thank you. KM4ACK Jason and KK6USY Chuck. I realized I knew I left somebody out. K8MRD, of course. Mike. Sorry, Mike. I apologize. K8MRD. Where somebody post the link to K8MRD if I've got an admin in the house. Or somebody post it and I'll see it and I'll add it. I apologize, Mike. Of course, you're on that list too. Mike's been on my show. Dawn. DX Commander's getting his whole antenna. He's getting a whole video on his antenna. But of course, yeah, I already mentioned DX Commander. So absolutely, I would be here forever if all I did was talk about YouTubers that create it that do good antenna work, because there are a ton. So anyway, these guys need some love. Mike's there. He is. That's okay. I've only done one or two antenna videos. He loves antennas. He loves them though. He does. I apologize, Mike. But just sharing the love for these other guys. Anyway, okay, so questions. I will do this. Reggie Love says, using a choke on the feed line around 5% from the feed point is enough for a radial ground. Yeah, generally dropping a feed point or dropping a choke, an ugly ballon or an ugly choke is fine. That will knock out most of the RF coming back down. It's just when you start like getting into more power. Generally, though, you're going to burn out your un-un, your 49-to-1 un-un before you damage your antenna. All right. Well, we'll wrap it up then. Great show. So thank you for the super chat. Great show. Can't wait to get building my own antenna. That's awesome. Okay, excellent. I appreciate the super chat. Thank you. Let's go back over here. All right. So hope that was helpful. Let's see. Another comment. I've been studying for my general and haven't gotten into it enough to be completely lost and confused and have boatloads of questions. Tim, join us over on the Discord. Yeah, join us over on the Discord and we'll talk about, you know, whatever it is you want to talk about, questions on antennas. Generally, we try and hit the antenna questions up front, and then we'll open it up to whatever questions, and we'll go from there. And let's see. Discord link. Discord link is in the description for this video. So if you click on the description, there's the link. And if we've got any of the admins in the house, they may be able to drop it. Okay. Let me do this. Let me say a big thank you to the patrons, because the patron picks, this is their episode. They voted for this being the show topic, and I hope it was what they were looking for. So Patreon supports this channel in a big way. It kind of allows me to do a lot of the stuff I do, all the different videos, all the fun stuff, and I try to have appropriate perks that are of some kind of value. I do a newsletter that everyone gets access to, all patrons. That comes out once a month. It's just for Patreon. And all videos post there on Patreon first before they go out to the public, if it were, except for the live streams, right? So, yeah, take the link in the description. That's probably the best way to get to the Discord. I will open another Lagunitas Sucks right now. James Hannibal, hey buddy, how you doing? I haven't seen you. I haven't seen you in the last couple of live streams, unless I missed you. Sorry. Loading a tree, Larry Ford. There have been lots of discussions on the mythical loading of the tree for an antenna. No, it's not really. It's possible, but not recommended, and not advisable, and not effective, really. And yeah. There are a couple people on YouTube who've tried to do it, and it just doesn't get you anywhere, really, in the long run. So, yeah, take that for what it's worth. My opinion is don't really try it. Okay. There's a lot of questions, a lot of comments. Thank you, everybody. I appreciate it, and obviously thanks to the patrons. I super, super appreciate the support, and literally the show, the live stream, and all the things that have started in my office on that 2011 iMac wouldn't be possible without the Patreon support. So it's super appreciative. I really appreciate it. It just simply makes all this possible. So I really thank you. So again, link is in the description for the Discord. That will take you to the after chat. I'll walk you through it really quickly. When you join Discord, it looks like an old IRC chat, except all the chat rooms are going to be on the left-hand side. You're going to scroll down to live chat. There will be a hashtag live chat and then a voice live chat. Start in the hashtag live chat for the text, just so we know you're there. You can say, hi, what's up? And then go into the settings and make sure you got your mic and your video, your mic and your speakers hooked up correctly, and then join the audio side. And then you'll hear us all and you'll be able to communicate. So very good. I appreciate that.